Well, back for more, are you? Or maybe this is your first time listening to the podcast. Or maybe you accidentally pressed play and you're trying to press stop rapidly. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Today we have a very interesting show for you. We're going to talk about the power of laughter and how laughter actually changes our brain chemistry. And I think this is a very important topic during these very trying times where we're all trying to deal with some anxiety and maybe some depression and worry and all that other stuff that's going on in the world today. And I talk about it with the beloved Susanna Lewis. So if you haven't subscribed yet, hop to it and enjoy the show.
It's the Ha Ha's for Who Ha's podcast. Let's get it on. I mean, only if you want to. No pressure. Sorry, that sounded kind of awkward. This is just a podcast. So, you know, everybody relax.
Hello. Welcome, everybody, to the Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast. My name is Anna Lind Thomas. I'm the founder of Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's. And I'm hiding in my daughter's bedroom because that's where a comfortable chair is. Because she's a menace. She's in the house and she's a menace. And I would like to tell you guys that I'm so successful that I have like a office somewhere. That's not true. All I've got is my office in the country with a really bad internet. So that's what we're up against. Someone else, speaking of bad internet, somebody else who lives in the country has really bad internet. I'm here with Susanna Lewis of Well Susanna. Hey, girl.
Hello.
I heard that you've had some cable trouble this week.
Oh, yeah. I'm watching my bars right now with anxiety and perspiration forming on my brow because I know that they're going to drop at some point. So,
are you cable issues make you murderous, don't they?
Yeah,
they make me murderous. I think there's like a Will Ferrell quote. I don't know if he's the one who actually said it because you never can believe memes these days. But if you really want to. Everybody should experience bad Wi-Fi before they get married, like bad Wi-Fi with their spouse, so they can really see what kind of person they are. Because it's true.
Yeah.
And we don't have fiber optics. We don't have anything like that. Like we basically have a phone line.
Yeah.
And a guy comes out, and I got to tell you, we are not that far from the country. Like literally, you can see. The skyscrapers from our neighborhood practically. So we're not that far from downtown. I mean, it's not like we're, I think it's like 15
like
minutes. Yeah, exactly. we're like 15 minutes away and this is how bad it is. So guy had to come out. He has to string up a phone line. And then it's like, we were paying for maybe like 50 megabytes, which I don't even know what that means, but I know it's good. So we had like 50 megabytes with Cox Cable in the city. Now we have three. It was three. And we don't have regular cable. Everything is streaming. So we have Apple TV, all of our devices. We had three. Rob will be watching a movie and he's like, "What are you doing?" I'm in my office. I'm like, "I'm uploading a picture. Why?" He's like, "Well, that'll explain why I'm paused." I mean, this is the kind of life we're living. So then we called and we said, three is not acceptable. On your website, it said you guys can go up to 15 to 20. So they sent the guy out. He had to run two phone lines into this damn house. And we're paying more than we paid Cox Cable. I just feel like.
I know. It's.
It's third world problems, but.
It is.
I mean, when you're used to it, you're used to it. I don't know what else. I mean, it's like being in a nice car than being in a hoopty with no air conditioning. I mean, you just really feel the pain of it so much worse.
You do. I can't use my phone when I'm on the internet, just like back in the old days of dial-up.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I were to get on my phone right now, it would suck all of the power from the router to the phone, and then the computer would just, I'd lose you.
Are you talking about a landline phone, or are you talking about like
my cell phone.
Your cell phone, okay.
Like if I got it on the internet on my cell phone, like the router is only capable of sending Wi-Fi to one device.
Yeah. Do you still have a landline, or are you guys totally cell phones?
No, just cell phones.
We recently got rid of one because I actually liked using it because I can talk better on a regular phone than I can my cell phone. You know, iPhones are not chat friendly, or any smartphone really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just recently I was like, well, this is silly. And now I'm missing phone calls. I hate being on the phone. That's the worst. Because you can't, you know, when you're busy and you want to kind of put the phone on your shoulder because your hands are in the dishes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with a cell phone. You end up hanging up on them, pulling up your email, sending out mass emails with your ear.
My cheek gets in the way. That's when I knew I had fat cheeks.
Mine's always like caked with makeup too. It's like a real greasy, makeup-y caked phone.
Hazard. Yeah.
Lucy was like licking the top of it. Now everybody sounds kind of digital and mechanical. I'm just like, oh gosh, this is.
I miss talking on the phone though. You know, remember when you were a kid and you'd go up to your room and you had your phone and you'd twirl the little cord around your finger, and you know, when you got the cordless phone and you could walk all over the house, how amazing it was. My children have no idea what a cord from a phone even looks like.
I saw a tweet the other day where their daughter asked them, why do you guys call it hanging up the phone?
Yeah.
I mean, our children don't even really know what a landline phone looks like anymore. I mean, that's crazy.
It's sad.
That is so sad. I know. And then, like, another problem, though, without having a landline is that sometimes people want to get a hold of the other one, so they go through you. And that's kind of like my dad. My dad and my husband have a really great relationship, but he will, like, talk through me. And I'm like, he goes, well, I was going to stop by, but you didn't answer the phone. And I go, well, Rob is home. Why don't you try his cell phone? I mean, you know what I mean? Whereas if we had a landline, that would have solved that problem. But, you know, hey, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk a little bit today. I'm going to change gears. I'm writing a piece for Babbel, so I've been really kind of stewing on this a little bit. But I kind of feel like in today's environment, online, political, with terrorism being, you know, kind of those attacks that happened that have been kind of scaring everybody, you know, as they should. That there's a lot of fear and uncertainty and anxiety in the air. Some people believe that if Hillary Clinton is elected, it will be the absolute end of the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
People believe if Donald Trump is elected, it'll be the end of the world. He has access to all the nuclear codes and will literally be bombing the world, which that one kind of makes me laugh because people don't understand how nuclear bombs work.
No.
I got to admit, I didn't either. I had to ask my Air Force husband. I was like, wait, he can't actually press a button without going through due process, right? He's like, no, he won't even have access to the button. Like, he's not going to be in a room with a big red button like, here we go, China. You go screw us on this trade deal. Now, wait, Beijing is going to get lit. That's not how the button works. Like there's a process.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm of the camp that we're gonna make it no matter what. We've had some bad presidents in the past. We made it. So I'm not. And then everyone's kind of freaking out because of the court justices and.
Yeah.
That's a solid point because it's going to sway whatever your political persuasion. You want those judges to kind of mimic your own. So I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the world's still going to turn.
Absolutely.
The court might not come down on a certain ruling, but you'll still just get up and make your family some eggs.
Yeah.
You're like, whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to that ruling on, you know, that trade deal? Oh, that didn't go the way I wanted. You know what I mean? Let's just all move on. All right. I was going to say something about abortion, but then I was like, oh, that's a trigger word. No, I better back off from that topic. Mm-mm. So I wanted to talk about humor in trying and uncertain times and how important it is to laugh, because I remember when when the fart story first went viral, and if anybody's new to this podcast, I doubt you are, but if anybody's new, I wrote a story about 4 or 5 years ago. I've totally lost count. It was called The Fart That Almost Altered My Destiny, and it went mega viral. And I remember in the first 2 years especially, I got tons of fan mail, people who said that they loved it, they laughed, they shared it with their family, all really good stuff. But I got around five emails from people who actually said that they were suicidal, had planned to kill themselves that night. They were going to do one last kind of spin on Facebook to see their friends, to do whatever. Happened to see the story in their newsfeed, read it, laughed so hard they changed their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I believe it. Yeah.
And it's not because of me. I have nothing to do with it. What happened was that they laughed so hard that they were able to experience those endorphins that they hadn't been feeling before, and that they got to experience life and joy for a second. And they realized they still had it. They still had the ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, they had a long road of recovery ahead of them with professional guidance, lots of therapy. That stories didn't solve any problems. But what humor does, and what that really struck me, because to me it was just a dumb story that, I mean, it was a funny story that had happened to me, but it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the lesson I learned from that was how there's a huge power in humor, and I would never take it for granted again.
Yeah.
The importance of laughing.
But see, your fart altered other people's destinies as well.
They did. They did.
Isn't that great?
I know. So I think that, not like when you're scared if there's an attack in another country and you're holding your baby and you're like, oh God, what's the world going to come to, that you need to go just hysterically laugh like a crazy person.
It wouldn't hurt.
But it wouldn't hurt. If you tried it, I bet it would snap you out of a funk.
Yeah.
Just start maniacally laughing.
Yeah.
That's like a game I'll play with my husband to see who will both fake laugh, and then we'll see who, like, who really cracks and goes into a real laugh.
Yeah.
And that'll probably snap you out of it, because actually one thing happened to me. I got a bit of bad news. It wasn't the end of the world, but it was bad news that needed to be kind of cried over. And the thing about pregnancy hormones, at least for me, is that when pregnancy hormones make it difficult to get over something. So something that probably I would have gotten upset about and maybe shed a few tears over, but then kind of moved on, it lingers all day with pregnancy hormones, at least for me. That's kind of how, you know, I don't think I overreact because of pregnancy hormones, but I just think that I go a little bit deeper and longer than I normally would. So I had a big, long day. My husband was trying to get me out of my funk, and it wasn't working. And I was like, you know, honey, just give me some space. I'm just in a funk. I'm not in a good mood. I just need to be in this space because I'm not in the mood to get out of it. And then something happened, and I wish I knew the joke, but there was like some kind of commercial on or something that reminded me of him, and I made fun of him, and it was a really good joke. Like, it was just solid. And so I made fun of him. I kind of like reinvented the joke to apply to him. I was like, oh, this reminds me of you. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed at his expense. Now he's looking at me, not laughing.
Yeah.
So he's like, let me get this straight. You've been depressed all day long, and now you're making fun of me, and you're in a real good mood. I was like, you know what? I think I am.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
That's how quickly it kind of helped. So I think humor is really, I think it's something that if you can, if you're feeling like you're in a bit of a funk, And this isn't to minimize true tragedy, true hardship, which are seasons that need to be walked through and mourned through. It's nothing like that.
Yeah.
But what it is that when you're feeling pessimistic, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling low, how good it is, how probably important it is to get yourself around some of your funny girlfriends, put on a funny movie, or do something that can kind of help you snap out of it. I even have some facts here. I don't know if I have. I know. Like, I'm ready. And by ready, I mean I have a tab open. And I'm going to sit here and stroll while I look for the right. Okay, so humor has physical benefits, you guys. So listen up. A hearty laugh has been shown to benefit your circulation, lungs, and muscles. You know those laughs where you can't breathe? Those are the best.
My favorite. Those are
the best. And for me, they're usually at somebody else's expense. I feel bad about it, but it's like somebody else. Especially if you fell. If you fell in front of me. Here's one. Here's a really good laugh. This one gets me going every time I think about it. So Rob is setting up sprinklers in our lawn. Okay. And we just bought new, really high powered ones. And he's setting up sprinklers. Lucy and I are on the porch watching him. And one of them is not angled right. So it's hitting an area we don't want to hit. So he needs to go in and move it, but he doesn't want to go through the trouble of shutting off the water or whatever. So you can tell he's trying to time. He's fully clothed. He's not in summer gear. So he's trying to time when to go in for it.
Like he's going to jump rope. You know how you kind of bobble back and forth?
Well, I think he was going to try to beat the circle. So, you know, like just kind of whip that circle that it's going in and just kind of try to beat it. So I can tell he's waiting for the right time to go in. Well, something happened when he was about to go in. It changed direction and started to go the other way. Let me tell you, Susanna, his reaction. I wish I could show you. I wish this was video. He flung his arms back like he was in war and he was getting riddled with bullets. Okay? Because it went across his chest. He flung his arms back. He's like, screaming like he got riddled with bullets. And his body's moved like that, shaking. Yeah. His chest is pumping like he's getting riddled with bullets.
Yeah.
Screaming with his arms back. Mm. I laughed. I think it was like 30 minutes because I couldn't get the visual out of my head that he had overreacted that badly about getting wet. Now it does suck when you are fully clothed. I mean, you don't want to get hit that hard. That does blow. But I was on top
riddled
of the
with bullets.
I was on top of the world after that laugh. Yeah. I could have just I don't know. I probably should have went around the neighborhood and just threw candy out in the street. that's how good it was. Just like you guys, I had the best laugh. I'm still laughing. My husband acted like he was in war. It was just a sprinkler. That was so good. Here's some Tootsie Rolls.
Oh.
Some last year's Halloween candy.
Yeah.
So, I guess my point is that it releases endorphins. It does all of these really wonderful, magical things. And it is a special part of being human. Like, lions aren't, like, laughing. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Do gorillas or apes laugh? I don't think they do either. Watch me. I know they sign language and mourn Robin Williams' death. I know.
They certainly did that. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's a particularly human trait, and it's actually one of the first things that we do as babies. So think about that for a second. Think about how special and freaky, unique that is, not only to the human condition, but for us. But right. humor is so important that it's one of the very first things we do when we're an infant. That's yeah. pretty crazy.
That's pretty deep.
That's real deep. And this whole mm-hmm. thing, this whole, this, I mean, it kind of gives you a glimpse into the miracle of life. Because I really don't know what the biological, I've been trying to do a lot of research on it, of what the evolutionary purpose, because I've, you know, if you want to put it in scientific terms, usually we want to, you know, slap a science, you know, a purpose to a scientific explanation. Well, we laugh because it releases a dopamine mm-hmm. and that dopamine is what we need to procreate. I mean, I don't know. I'm just making stuff up, but you know what I'm saying? We always want to, I think it has something to do with the miracle. Listen, I'm a believer. I believe in God. I think it's all wrapped into the miracle of life. 110%.
Absolutely.
So now let's talk a little bit. Now you and I, we've talked about internet. We've talked about idiots on the internet before. There's a new documentary coming out from comedians, which is the, it's called, Can We Take a Joke? Susanna, let me ask you, because you seem to get more heat than I do.
People hate me.
Can people take a joke?
No.
They can't.
No.
What do you think's going on there? Have you come up with any hypotheses? I mean, it's really political correctness gone amok, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. No, people are douchebags. That's my hypothesis there. I don't know. I think people are just so miserable that, you know, they're just looking for something to gripe about. You know, yeah. I have people that get mad at me for the silliest things that, you know, I don't understand what's wrong with people. I guess they're just locked in a dark room
and how
an Xbox or something. I don't know.
And how they got the energy to let you know how deeply offended they are.
Yeah. Who does that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think there's something weird going on. And I mean.
People want to be mad. That's yeah. what it is. People want to be mad.
Yeah. There's something about, could it be that we're more narcissistic?
Mm-hmm.
I think that has to play something into it, because something happened. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before, and she was young, so I definitely don't want to exploit her. I'm certainly not going to say her name. But I wrote a post for Babbel that went viral called Life's Too Short for Crappy Friends.
Yeah.
And because Babbel is a adult website, I wrote it for younger women, but also for younger women to their mothers, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I made some jokes in there about, listen, I know you'd rather listen to your Justin Bieber, you know, you're sitting on your Justin Bieber sheets. Like, I made a joke about them liking Justin Bieber rather than listening to me lecture them about Friends. And I got a email from a young woman who was very articulate. She was 13, 14 years old or something like that, who said, I just want you to know that my name is so-and-so. I'm 14 years old. I read your story. Life is too short for crappy friends. And I was starting to get excited because I was like, another little girl's life I've changed forever. Changing life. I was like, this is my mission. Yeah. This is my mission field. You know, this is how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Because I had already gotten some letters from some young women that were extremely positive. So I was feeling real good about myself. I was like, another baby girl's life changed forever. It's not me. It's Jesus.
That's
you know,
right.
I was being That's real right. humble.
That's right.
And I'd like to take credit for those words, but the spirit was working through my fingers. You know, I was real, you know, mm-hmm. evangelizing. And
then Satan popped up.
Then she goes, I read your story with Crappy Friends. And she said, she quoted my joke about Justin Bieber, which, mm-hmm. mind you, that is written for the parents as a joke.
Yeah.
And she goes, I just want you to know that I'm deeply offended. I don't like Justin Bieber at all. I never have. Mm-hmm. And you have stereotyped me. And I think that that's wrong. Mm-hmm. Sincerely, Sally O'Malley, if I don't remember. And I was so taken aback because I believe somebody taught her that.
Yeah.
I really, when you're 14, do you just get on the computer and just let writers have it?
I didn't have a computer when I was 14.
Well, that's true. But even if I had one, I wouldn't do that in a, I mean, I can't even, it's almost like she said, she told somebody, well, this really offends me because I don't like Justin Bieber. Well, why don't you craft a letter and let her know how pissed off you are? You know what I mean, maybe she did it all on her own. I don't know. But I wrote back and I said, I appreciated her reading the work and I was impressed by what a young, smart, articulate woman she was. And I said, honey, that was a joke. It was not meant to be taken seriously or personally in any way, shape, or form. And guess what? I don't like Justin Bieber either, so we got a lot in common. And I signed off, and she wrote back, and she goes, okay, thanks. Oh, it's getting down into the babies. Like this kind of, I've taken a letter you've written to the masses and I have applied it so deeply to myself that I'm going to pluck out a sentence and apply it to me and allow it to ruin my day. And I'm going to hold you 100% responsible. You owe me an apology.
I am so thankful that I am not like that. And I came from a family who was not like that.
Right?
So thankful because, you know, all we did growing up is laugh and make fun of things. And,
yes.
And I loved it. And that's what I try to do in my family is, you know, laugh as much as possible and make fun of people.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, see, in my...
Not really. See, somebody's going to get mad about that. You know, I'm not out pointing at old men laying down on the road and fell off the walker or something, right?
Right, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying. But finding the humor in life is so important.
I grew up in a family that brutally made fun of each other.
Yes, I did too.
But we knew that there were boundaries. Like there were certain things you couldn't say about each of us. You really, like, my sister's kind of ditzy. If you really went for the ditzy, you could probably make her cry. Like all of us have that thing that you kind of got to back off. And when you love each other, you got to know you can't go there. There's certain things with my husband I can really go after and he's laughing and laughing and laughing. But there are certain things that are personal to him that if I were to go after that, he'd be like, okay, you've gone too far. That's not funny. You know? So, and I've got it. We've all got that thing where it's like, okay, that actually is traumatizing, you know? So thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to laugh at, like, one thing for me is, if you want to laugh at, like, how big my hair is, if you want to laugh at my hair, if you want to laugh at how big my boobs are or physical stuff like that, I don't care. But if you, like, don't start saying I'm fat and always have been. That one will hurt my feelings.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
So my dad's not at the head of the table and they're all making fun of, you know, how fat we, you know, that part. But my brother has gone through some big waves and he went through a fat stage, kind of like Rob Kardashian. He went through a Rob Kardashian phase where the only thing he could fit in was like FUBU. So he would go like, His normal outfits were always like Diesel's, boots, button up Ralph Lauren, and then he went through a FUBU stage where all he could fit into were like FUBU jumpsuits. It was about a year long, and no one had a more hilarious sense of humor about it than he did. Because he wasn't a fat kid. I think it's of whether you were a fat kid. If you were a fat kid, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I was a fat kid. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he's always been an athlete. He's always been fit. So once he got fat, he could make fun of it. It was like no big deal.
He has adult onset fatness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was just a phase. I think he quit. He had quit something. I think it was smoking. It was one of those things. He just blew up. He was eating fast food every day. He wasn't exercising as much. And he just got big. And so he'd even make fun of his FUBU. So we could just, like, when he'd come over with, like, a velour FUBU jumpsuit, it was game on. It was game on. And then I was like, do you even know what FUBU stands for? Because I don't think he realized it was like for black men, which it isn't just for black men, but it's for us by us, which
it's
is
for gangsters too on The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And black men.
For us by us. So it's for black men by black men. My brother goes walking in it. And I just feel like it was just a heyday. It was just 45 minutes of really good material.
Gosh.
You know, we have other things with my family. I know we're still picking on my brother, but my brother and my dad have really big heads. So we'll joke about how both of them, when they're on the construction site, they can't wear helmets, so they got to wear buckets. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. It's gold.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolute gold. So
it's my favorite thing.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. My dad will... my mom has, she's 100% Sicilian, and she has black, thick, curly hair. And so my dad will call her, like Diana Ross, like that Diana Ross's big fro. We'll kind of make fun of that, or we'll be like, oh, you're real Diana Ross today, when it's, you know, real thick. I think my dad called her, something Brown. Who's the soul singer? Not Jackie Brown. I want to say he was like, you know, who would dance?
James Brown?
James Brown. He'd call her James Brown because of her. he'd do trivia. He's like, question, does mom look like James Brown? Or, and then he'd say something else with another Brown name. And I'd be like, James Brown, easy. You know, my mom is gorgeous. She's like Sophia Loren. There's no reason to get pissed. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's just funny to imagine that your mom looks like James Brown. That's all.
Yeah.
So, that's where I grew up in a family like that. So, you do have to be careful, though, because you do tend to think that other people have a good sense of humor about themselves when they don't. And you know when they don't. Like, you can tell, like, whoop, went too little.
Oh, gosh.
I thought I could tease you about that. Turns out I can't. That's all right. So how is that?
I can't be friends with those people. I can't.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. So did you kind of grow up in a similar home where everybody's making fun of everything?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. My mother was so, oh gosh, she was hilarious. She was the funniest woman I know. And we used to play jokes on each other all the time. And she would get so mad at me. But it was that, you know, I would make fun of her about things, not in a disrespectful way, but, you know, I'd make fun of her about things. And she'd get so mad and have that mad face. And then she'd just bust out laughing, you know, start laughing herself.
Yeah.
I remember we took a trip to Florida and we were in her Cadillac and my sister was driving and she was in the passenger seat and she was going through menopause and she was having these terrible hot flashes. So when we got out at the rest area or somewhere, she got back in and I had flipped her seat heat on.
So yeah.
She got in the car and the seat heat was on and she was like, oh Jesus, Lord God, I'm sweating. Oh Lord. And had the air on and all this. And we let her ride from like Atlanta to Pensacola with the seat heat on. And I finally told her, I think she hit me with her purse, but then she laughed about it. You know,
yeah.
I was like, yeah. But so we always did funny stuff like that. And my dad was hilarious. He used to make movies and stuff all the time. Everybody in our town knew him and he did crazy stuff and it was fun. We lived in a really funny comedic house. My brother's hilarious. My sister. So and like you just said, you know, when you grow up with humor like that, you expect everybody to be like that.
Right.
But I remember going to friends' houses and everything was so rigid and quiet and stern. And it felt so awkward. I could not wait to get back home to my sitcom life.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So people who don't grow up that way don't get it, I guess. They just don't get it.
I know. One of our favorite things are like family videos. So, for instance. And Rob had to acclimate because Rob doesn't have a super close family life. And so even though Rob has an amazing sense of humor, he's not really used to everybody laughing at you. And not just laughing, but like guffaw, heavy, mm-hmm. like our mouths. I mean, everybody knows I've got like a really loud laugh. Well, everybody in my family does. So you can only imagine what that's like. So he wasn't quite used to getting all the attention at once. And there was a video where we all went ice skating. It was the first time Rob had ever gone ice skating. And I've got a 6'3" man's man, all-American husband, okay? And he's out there. And one of the kids is taking a video of me. Like, I skate up to her, and I'm like, do a little slide. And I'm like, hey, girl. And so I'm kind of like posing for the camera, talking to her. And you can see behind me, Rob is across the ice rink. And he's like scissor cutting, okay? Like out of balance. Like he's like, what? You know, his arms are flapping. Yeah. Scissor going so slow. And then my niece zooms in on him. And we have probably 15 minutes of him trying to make it around the rink, scissor cutting, taking it very seriously.
Did he look like he was being riddled with bullets?
Close.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like his arms would flail. He'd lose his balance. Yeah. And just to see this man's man have zero mm-hmm. control and to be vulnerable like that. And we... at Christmas time, we just pull out the video. We're like, yeah. Time to pull out that video of Rob trying to ice skate. So yeah. We'll pull out the video. Then we've got some gems of my sister. One of them was for one of her pregnancies, she got real big. She's not sure why. It's just the nature of that pregnancy. And she bought a Victoria's Secret onesie as pajamas. And to this day, we're all like, What the hell were you thinking? Like, it buttons up the front, but it's a full bodysuit onesie. And I was like, you thought with your pregnant body that that was a good look? Okay, so her husband, for every Christmas, her husband would like set up the family camera while everybody's kind of around the tree mm-hmm. and opening presents. And at some point in the video, everybody leaves and it's just my sister. She's sitting on the ground in this onesie, hugely pregnant, and the buttons are bulging. So you can see her stomach. Like, you can see her skin because all the buttons are bulging. And mind you, she's glammed up because she knew she was going to be on video. So her hair is done. She's got makeup on and bright red lipstick. Okay.
But she didn't put on pants?
No, she kept her pajamas on because she thought it'd be cute. She burned it. After that video, that thing went into a trash can and got lit on fire.
Oh, so
she's
mercy.
Sitting there with all the buttons bulging.
Yeah.
And one of the kids had opened up like an egg or something that had a bunch of M&Ms in it, and it got in the carpet, and she's digging M&Ms off the carpet, eating them. So it's like 5 minutes. You don't even know where the rest of the family is. Like, she can't even remember. She doesn't know why she's all alone in the family room. Because she forgot the camera was on. So she's sitting on the ground. Uh-huh. I don't know, 9 months pregnant, bulging buttons, eating M&Ms off the carpet for 5 minutes, not talking to anyone. That's another video we pull up from the archives. We're like, yes, yeah. Pull that one up.
God.
There was another one where she got a present she didn't like. So he bought her, she wanted like really beautiful, like William Sonoma pots and pans. And her husband got her like Wolfgang Puck. It's like mm-hmm. the stuff that goes on sale at Kohl's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her reaction was so fake and just, oh, Wolfgang mm-hmm. Puck. Love it. So anyway, my point is, we just will pull out the video and laugh for years.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's husband doesn't have a good sense of humor. We can't make fun of him at all. We've learned that over the years.
Mm-mm.
So he's the wet blanket of the family. He's like the black sheep. So I guess we are lucky to just realize that life's not that serious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And yeah. you just gotta laugh at the silly stuff and it could be like, I don't know if it's a lack of confidence. Maybe that has stuff to do with it too, where maybe if you're already insecure, You think if you're getting tea, I mean, I don't know, because there's, what would you say is the difference? Because someone could be like, well, I mean, it sounds like you guys are justifying bullying. Like, is there, like, what's the difference between a real good sense of humor and bullying somebody?
Well, like you said before, when you know not to hit below the belt about certain things, that's bullying, you know, and in your family, I don't know if you can really bully your family. Can you bully your family? I don't know.
I think only when you're like 15 and you've got a 12-year-old brother, you're punching him in the balls or something while he cries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there's, you know, people you don't know, if they're overweight and you point out that they're fat, you don't know them, you can't do that. But I don't know. I've been called a bully before in my writing, and I don't see it as bullying anybody. You know, I ran a lot about Walmart and the kinds of people who frequent Walmart, which I frequent Walmart, but I'm talking about, you know, especially down here in the South, good old just rednecks.
Yeah.
And people think that I'm bullying rednecks. I'm not bullying rednecks. It's just an observation. So I think people like to throw that bully word around too much.
Right. Exactly. Well, again, it's kind of like, it's kind of personalizing.
It is, yeah.
When it has nothing to do with you, you know?
Right, right.
And I always know on hoo-has, I know right away when something's going to get pushed back. Because I'm like, this is making fun of the school district. Like, I had a writer make fun of the rules of the school, basically. And... you know, if I have to fill out 10 forms, just know you're not getting the forms or, you know, whatever. It's just kind of making fun of that kind of stuff. And I was like, there's going to be people in the school who are going to be pissed off. And sure enough, I got some letters and, you know, I don't take them seriously. And I suppose, of course, you know, they have a right if they feel misunderstood. But the thing is that when it's satire, the satire and humor is the making fun of the exaggeration of the truth.
Right.
So we're making fun of the exaggerated part of things. So you're not even in reality to begin with. So if you're going to take it personal, it's like, no one's even talking about real. Well, that doesn't happen in my school. Well, good for you. That's not the point of the joke. Your school's not in the joke. You know what I mean?
I'm going to take the time to comment that this does not happen in my school.
I know. Well, really, I think there's something about feeling like everything is about you, and everything you read is about you. And if someone writes a post about have sex with your spouse whenever they want it, it ain't about your actual. You don't have to actually use your marriage.
And I wrote that post.
You did. I know. You got that posted really well. You also got some hate mail on that one. Maybe some death threats.
Yeah, I had a death threat from somebody who had the word sunshine in their email name, their email address.
Oh yeah. Well, they're real sunny.
Aren't they? Yeah.
But if I were to write a post that said, you know, if you feel like you have to have sex when you're not in the mood, that could kind of make you feel like, you know, sexually exploited. Or if I were to write a post with the other side of it, I would get men like, your fat ass is gonna get cheated on then. You know, I would.
Yeah,
they'd be like, your man doesn't even want to F you anyway. You don't put out for your man, he's just gonna get it somewhere else. I was like, maybe where you live, but I've got the kind of guy who's not like, well, I'm gonna go find a whore.
Be back for supper.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you want to be together? I was like, oh, honey, I don't feel well. Okay, well, I'm going to go to the whorehouse. I mean, that's not how it works in my house, thank God. I don't know what's up with other people, but. So, I know, it's kind of.
People will find a way to twist it either way.
Yeah.
You know, you can't please all the people any of the time, ever.
And I kind of used to have a rule where I thought, if it doesn't bother me, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, with the mob mentality online, it really could ruin your career forever.
Yeah.
If people find something egregious enough, you could really have a difficult time ever writing again. I think that there was a woman who wrote a pretty brutal post about staying thin for your man. I think that that was, if you want to have a happy marriage, then be skinny.
Mm.
But she wrote it with such a lack of sensitivity that I remember feeling bristled. Not bristled enough to like log into the comment section, I'll tell you that. Maybe I'm just lazy. Here I am all self-righteous thinking that I'm better than everybody else. I don't take things personally. Maybe I'm just too lazy to log in.
I am too.
I don't know what my password is. I'm not about to have it emailed to me. Never mind.
Yeah.
And it was something about that. And she had a follow-up that was almost worse. And she didn't care. She didn't care that it was pissing people off. She didn't care that it was offensive. She didn't care that she hurt people's feelings. And it was pretty brutal. And I don't remember. I wish I could remember. The story would be a lot better. But there were certain parts of it that were brutal. And I don't know if she's ever going to be able to write again. I really don't. She was so hated that the only things that people would pick up from her is to say, okay, write us another post because you get us a lot of clicks because you're so despised. But as a writer, could she sell a book? You know what I mean? So there is a risk that if you really go for it and just be like, well, if you can't get the joke, that's your problem. Then, you know, it really could hurt you. So we're in a weird time, you know? And I remember, and this is me, because I'm always trying to figure out, I'm racially sensitive. I have friends who are black, and I can be very sensitive to those kinds of jokes. It has to be done well. I can be sensitive about those things. And not to get political at all, but it does seem like I have so many liberal friends, and we talk about this. I mean, a majority of my friends are actually really liberal, and I talk about this a lot because they're very culturally sensitive. But if you're a conservative, it is a free-for-all on how stupid, redneck, inbred idiots they are.
That's me.
And that's the thing where I'm like, I feel like if you're going to put up those standards, you got to carry those standards all the way through. Otherwise, it's just not a good look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that there's a mean, there's a, I don't know if we're ever going to come to a resolution. I suppose all I want to say is that the trouble with political correctness, there's a goodness to it in that the stuff on the fringe, the stuff on the edge that really is hurtful and really is damaging. I think it is good now to say, hey, you know, it's not good. You know, there's certain words that are super hurtful.
Right. Yeah.
And there are certain people that just, it's not funny. Like I would never really laugh hard at, a mentally handicapped person.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
You know, I don't like the word FAG. I wouldn't even want to say it. I can't. I mean, it's so hurtful. There's certain good out of it. But I would also say that in the grand scheme of things, if you could just not take yourself so damn seriously and not apply every post you see or every comment you see and take it as a personal affront attack on you.
Right.
I think you would have a much happier life, a much less stressful life. And if you could just learn to laugh at yourself and not take yourself so seriously and surround yourself by people who have a real good sense of humor about themselves as well, I think that that's a good thing. I think you'll be a lot happier. I think your brain chemistry is going to change. Anyway, look for my Babbel article because I'm going to get into the nitty gritty of it. But anyway, well, I just wanted to chat about that today. I thought it was really interesting because I am kind of writing now about the power of humor.
It is. Humor is a wonderful, beautiful gift. That's what it is. It's a gift.
Lift people up with it. Don't hurt them with it. And I will say you don't want to use humor to just brutalize people. You know, I was thinking about I went to the Comedy Store. This is the last thing I'll kind of mention, in LA, and it was a full set, a lot of celebrities, or at least lower end celebrities. I recognize them. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And it was mail after mail after mail after mail after mail. And all of them talked about sex. Most of it was extremely degrading towards women and borderlined on rapey jokes. I mean, I laughed. I mean, I understood the humor in it. I wasn't offended or had my arms crossed or anything. I mean, I laughed at the whole thing. But it was like, it was unoriginal mm-hmm. humor. And Leslie Jones came out. She's in the latest Ghostbusters. This is before she was on Saturday Night Live. She had the most hilarious set. And I'll never forget it. I laughed so hard. But one was about how... one little part was about how her boyfriend just recently broke up with her and he was wearing Crocs. So she's like, he wore Crocs to the breakup. And she was like, this is my heart. He was my everything. And he wore Crocs to the breakup. Okay. I mean, I was like, yes. That was so good. And I feel like Ellen DeGeneres is the same way. She has that sense of humor where she can make fun of day-to-day life, but she doesn't hurt or degrade anybody else in the process.
Yeah.
I think there's a certain beauty to that kind of humor.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, let's give people a little elbow room to make fun of how crazy we are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A little elbow room to say, hey, is the line dropping our kids off a little crazy, or is it just me? You know what I mean? Are the PTA meetings ridiculous? Are the pregnancy forums the most outrageous thing you've ever seen? Why are people writing in all caps?
They're mad.
Why is no one editing their comments?
Mm-hmm.
That one I'll never know. If you're going to take the time to be in a forum, it at least makes sense.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Well, anyway, Susanna, I think I've beat this dead horse to...
It's worth beating. It's worth beating.
Let's just beat it. Let's just beat it. And
I may beat it next time. Yeah. Next time we podcast, I may beat this one again.
We're just going to bring it out and keep beating.
Let's just change the whole podcast to people who have no sense of humor.
Just complain about people without a sense of humor.
Let's complain about people who don't laugh with us.
Let's talk badly about people who don't laugh at my jokes.
Yeah.
That's what we'll fucking... If you don't laugh
at
my jokes...
That's what I want to make fun of. Yeah, that's what I want to make fun of. What do you mean, dislike? What do you mean? Yeah.
You mean I've written something or I've said something that you don't like? How dare you?
200 likes? That's it? That was golden. What?
Don't even get me started on that. My best stuff flops. My worst stuff soars like an eagle. I'll never be able to figure it out.
Uh-huh. I could post the alphabet and it would get 4.7 million likes, you know. Just in order, ABC, A through Z.
Yeah, they'll be like, girl, you're crazy. God, Share. I love you, Whoa, Susanna.
Let me tag my sister. She knows the alphabet.
I think I saw you at a Burger King drive-thru. I was too nervous to say hey. Oh, man. Anyway, we know anybody listening to this podcast has a good sense of humor, so I don't think we've officially offended anyone today.
Yes, don't take this personally.
Don't take this personally. The moral of the story is this is a really crappy time. We've got a lot of scary stuff going on. But, you know, I think a lot of people think this is the end of civilization. We're in the worst times in history. But whoever says that does not remember history. Okay.
Have they not read Exodus?
Like, Joan of Arc did not live in a good time.
No.
That was a bad time to be a Joan of Arc.
That's right.
My mom remembers doing nuclear war drills when Russia was moving into Cuba and setting up missiles, and they would do drills on what to do in a nuclear, like hiding under your desk.
Yeah.
And that's recent. There are the civil rights movement is still in people's life. There are people alive who remember not being able to use a particular bathroom.
Right.
People remember not being allowed to vote. Women remember a time where they were property. Mm-hmm. Then let's go back to, like, the Turkish invasion. That would be a real shitty time to live in a village. Could you imagine? You know what I mean? I'm just saying, things have sucked for a long time.
That's right.
So, nothing's new under the sun. We're going to make it, whether your political candidate gets elected or not. I promise you, you're going to make it. Get your chin up. Start making fun of your family. I guarantee you it'll help perk you up.
Yeah.
Get a good sense of humor on you. Don't take things so personally. Enjoy the little things. Have a real good laugh. And I recommend those YouTube videos of just like a series of like people falling. Those are my mm-hmm. favorite. That'll get you going. That'll get the day started. Mm-hmm. And keep following us on the Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast, and we'll do our best to help. How's that sound?
I think those are wise, wise words.
All right. Susanna, thank you so much for joining us. You guys follow Susanna at Woe Susanna on her Facebook page. Also, she has a new book coming out called Suspicion on Sugar Creek. You can get that on Amazon. And it's a witty mystery, and it's hysterical. So please run, go buy it. Susanna, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Thank you, Anna.
All right, girl. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And that's it. Another riveting episode of the Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast. Thank you so, so much for listening. I love you long time. Platonically, of course. If you're not following me on Facebook and Twitter, I don't know what the hell you're doing with your time, and I'm slightly irritated. For the latest scoop, calls for participation, etc., just search Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast, and don't forget to follow Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's and my more personal author page, Anna Lynn Thomas. I know you know how to Google, so don't even trip. Until next time, friends.